All right. Who's kicking us off?
And Larry and Janie, I hope you're somewhere warmer than 10 degrees and snowing like it is in Denver right now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's about 60 here.
Unbelievable.
We'll rub that in a little bit.
Yesterday it was 68. People were running around in shorts and flip-flops. And today it's 10 degrees. And, I don't know, a couple inches on the ground and more coming. Kind of crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's Denver for you.
Yeah, it is. So I saw, I think you have a couple under contract. Is that right? One or two?
Well,
nope.
We sent them the contract. They never signed it and returned it.
Okay.
So.
Did you get one back or no? I thought your update said you had one back. Did I read that wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was out of pocket today, so I'm going to follow up with them tomorrow morning and scold them.
So give me a quick update. How many offers out the door? I know you had a couple.
Just those two right now.
Okay. Do you have verbal acceptances on them, and it's just a paperwork thing, or where are we at?
One verbal. The other was the crazy one that had to go through a realtor.
And why is tell me why a realtor is involved.
Because the realtor was there to start with.
Well, this was an older lead, and by the time we got around to calling him, she had just listed it with the realtor. I mean, just like a week before something.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, but so agents involved in that one. What's that?
We were going to try and make that one work, but I don't know. We came up on the price, and he still didn't respond. The realtor still didn't respond, so I'm thinking we should just let that one go. But the other one,
yeah. Let me interject something here. We don't want to try and make anything work, and I don't know if that's just the way you said that or if that's really your intent. But the way it boils down to is we analyze deals. We determine what we can pay. We make offers. Sellers say yes or no, and based on their response, we move on. Is that right? Don't get into a highest and best game. Don't get into and that. Here's the thing: if you don't have a deal, that can be really hard not to do. But that's how we get goofed up in this business. So I think that's probably just the way you worded it. I don't want you playing their game. Make your offer.
Yeah.
This is what we can pay. It sounds like you maybe haven't heard back yet, but if the answer is no, hey, that's great. Tell you what, it looks like the property's listed. If you don't get any activity here in the next 30 days, give us a ring.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think, it's just we're just starting to really get offers out there, and it's like, we're just hungry for a deal, we're just like trying to make something work, and it's like if it's just not a workable good deal,
yeah,
we should just give up. It's just
exactly
yeah.
It. I don't want you to try to make something work. I want you to get a deal that works because you've run the numbers. Now, if you can pay 70 and you offered 55, giddy up. You've got some room in there.
The deal was out. The first offer you made was a low ball, and she threw it out. And the offer we put out last Friday, that offer was one that worked. There's no other offer. It don't go any higher. So,
okay.
I understand what you're saying.
Yep, beautiful. Just as long as we're on the same page. And I figured you are. Just, we don't overpay just so we can get a deal. That doesn't make sense 8 days a week. So.
Yeah.
Okay. We spent all day yesterday locally because I've got a friend that's got a buyer that's willing to pay up to $150,000 for a house, for a lot or a house, a tear down or whatever. And so.
Here locally.
Here locally. So I smell money. We rode around 8 hours yesterday and looked at 50 empty properties and tear down houses.
Did you find them anything?
A couple.
I had to requalify this morning on the phone with them.
Yeah.
What they wanted to do, whether it was a single story, two story, how big a lot, would they accept a subdivision or if it's farther out, just a little closer qualifications. But We went on and looked at a database we have of empty lots and empty houses, which, of course, not all the houses were empty, but of the ones that possibly would meet their criteria in the area. So I'm in the game with that, just kind of figuring it out, what'll fit.
Hey,
and
so
then,
make sure, Larry, make sure you're not acting like a real estate agent without a license. And
no, I'm not. I'm looking
okay.
a lot. I'm a wholesaler.
Okay, I'm only saying that because I'm saying that because real estate agents throw people in their car, drive around town, and look for deals. So don't get mistaken for one, and then just not be carrying the license.
Okay.
Right?
People know me. That's the first thing I tell them. I said, I'm not a crook. I don't have a real estate license.
Yeah. Because but that's where. That's sometimes where investors, you know, can run into a little bit of issue. If we're acting like we're brokering a deal or we're doing real estate agent type thing. So I'm just throwing it out there. I know that you're a wholesaler. But that when you said you jumped in the car with somebody and drove around, that's a very real estate agent like activity.
No. It was just me and him.
No.
Just me and him.
Gotcha. Okay. You didn't have the buyer in your car.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we don't even know the buyer. It's just through
okay.
a friend of ours. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Now, the other deal the other offer we put in on, we called a guy on a lead, and he said, oh, I just sold that house. I just sold it. He said, but I have another property, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's this and this and this.
Yep.
And it sounded really good. So that's where we, you know, made a verbal offer, and he's like, yeah, okay. So then we sent the contract, and we just hadn't heard back from him yet, so.
Okay, and how long did you give him to sign it?
That one was 24 hours.
About 24 hours, because he was all, you know, okay with it verbally, so we just sent it over and gave him 24 hours, and
so when you
of course
send
that
the
was
next
the weekend.
One, when you send the next one, I want the conversation to go, similar. Hey, Larry, so this is fantastic. I'm going to get the paperwork ready. Take me 15 to 20 minutes. I'm going to send it over. I've got your email address here. Are you going to be at your email or a place where you can check it in the next 15 to 20 minutes? It's an electronic signature. You can do it from any electronic device that you can receive email on. And that's a yes or no question. And you say, fantastic. I'm going to fire it over to you. And you can sign it. And as soon as you sign it, the electronic signature will notify me. And we'll be good to go. We'll get title open, and we'll start working towards this closing. Any questions before we hang up and I get that paperwork over to you? So I want your contracts to go till end of day today, right? Unless it's 7 or 8 o'clock, and somebody says, "Hey, I've got dinner plans tonight." I want a 10 p.m. deadline on that contract today to force the signature, and then I'm not going to hang up the phone until they understand that the paperwork's coming over in the next 20 minutes, and the game plan is they're just going to sign it and fire it right back, and we'll open escrow immediately. So compress that time frame, right? People will use typically whatever lease you give them. They'll take it. So just give them a short one. And it's not that it's rude or anything like that. Say, I want to get this thing moving for you as soon as possible. So let's do it this way. All right?
Got it.
That way we won't be a day later chasing them down, because now you're chasing them saying, hey, did you sign it? Did you sign it? Did you sign it? And it's challenging to not – it's not that you're desperate, but it's just challenging to not sound that way when you're chasing, right? So we just want to set up the expectation before that phone gets hung up prior. So
I'll get stronger back in this business.
Yeah.
It's back in retraining from being retired.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The next one you do, it'll be fine, and you'll have that contract back within 30 minutes.
Got it. Call them tomorrow, and I'll do that again. I'm gonna sign it.
That's right. And it's always their benefit. Hey, Larry, I know it's 7 o'clock, but I know you want to get this thing closed. We want to take this problem off your hands. Let's get the paperwork taken care of, and, you know, it's after work hours, but I'll send this over to title tonight so that it's in their inbox first thing tomorrow morning and they go to work on it for you. See, now it's all phrased as I'm doing you a favor, but it's really what I want, right?
Right.
And that's just That's just scripting. And, it, you know, it's simple. Simple scripting is all.
I got it. My strength will be up tomorrow.
Like it. Well, you guys have some stuff popping. Here's what I want you to do. If people want to counter, right, I like to know that your first offer, especially when there's an agent involved, this can be a little bit different when it's a homeowner, but when there's an agent involved, you've just got to say, this is my offer, love it or leave it, and then we're not worrying about this one. Let them reply, and let's go make more in the meantime or while you're waiting, because it really is just a function of, can we get some offers out the door? And when you get that dialed in and that becomes the culture of your team, you know, to do multiple deals a month, I don't know if easy is the word. Maybe it is. It just, if you focus everything around making offers on a daily basis or hitting a weekly goal, you're going to have deals. That's all there is to it. And I'm working through the same struggle, right? With our acquisition team. Hey guys, we're not making enough offers, right? We went a couple weeks where nothing went out the door. And so we had to have a little powwow. And the last couple of days, things have started popping. Imagine that. We're making offers and paperwork's coming in. So it's not a coincidence. It is the name of the game.
Yep.
So good stuff. Anything else quick?
I don't think so.
Okay. Who else? Mike, I know you're on, and I think there are a couple more dings. I'm not sure who else has joined us, but.
Okay. So, I've got the one offer. Me and my sales guy had a little bit of a miscue last week.
Tell us
on just the communication
help us
part of it.
What happened. So tell us what happened and then what you did to fix it.
So we ended up, you know, we had four offers that were all verbally accepted, and my sales guy's still trying to get in the same groove when we make little comments or whatever, and obviously we got to be more descriptive and a little more on top of it. So that's just part of a communication thing him and I are working. We worked out, but so we had the four offers. I didn't have much data and the system. I needed emails and whatnot, and he had been contacting them, so I told him to go ahead and get their emails and get their information, let them know that I'm going to be calling them within the next 15 minutes to just verify information for the paperwork and get it sent over to them.
Okay.
And we had talked about a few other things and then came back to the conversation, got off the phone, and he got busy, was calling some people. Then he ended up, I didn't see the information come in the system, so I texted him and said, I'm still waiting for you to let's get these things done. I want to get the paperwork back today on these. He ended up going into the system and put the information in, and then he let me know. He says, okay, information's in. We're good to go. And I still didn't get confirmation from him that he had actually let them know that I'm going to contact them. But I wanted them to be kind of prepared so him and I would just have a little dialogue. But anyway, so I didn't end up hearing back from him. I knew he was making some calls. I kind of waited about an hour and a half or two, and it was about 4:30 their time. And I ended up emailing or texting him back saying, hey, I'm waiting for you to get me the information. Well, he kind of went offline. I think it was his Friday night. I didn't hear back from him, so I kind of was getting a little frustrated, but I didn't want to stand on him with both feet, so I just, let's just see what happens. So Saturday, he's been taking his real estate classes. I think he's finished up now, and he's ready to go take his real estate license. So I knew he had some stuff going on, so I didn't bother him Saturday. Sunday, he texted me and said that one of the sellers contacted him and said they didn't get the paperwork.
Right.
And I was like, okay. So I texted him back and said, yeah, that's what my last text to you was, just trying to verify where we're at, what's going on with these sellers. And it was just more of a just miscommunication. We just need to be more on top of it with clarity. And we both agreed that it was, we both dropped the ball. I thought we fumbled it because someone's
seller,
right?
Right. So can you pick the ball back up?
Yeah. Yeah. So the seller that emailed or texted him to find out where the paperwork was, I had contacted him and just told him that we were, you know, trying to get the paperwork over, wanted to make sure he was available. I talked to him a little bit, and I think he was a little cautious because we kind of fumbled.
Yep.
And so I had a little talk with him and was trying to get a feel for him, and he kind of asked me a couple questions and wasn't too sure about how I was doing the deal and we were wholesaling or not. And I says, you know, my sales guy's name is Rob. And I said, Rob did explain to you that, you know, we are signing the contract. This is, you know, we aren't the purchasers. We're not bringing cash to the table. We're going to go out and assign this contract. And he was like, okay, yeah. He kind of acted a little hesitant.
Okay.
And he come right out and he says, so he had an offer for 50 on this house.
Okay.
ARVs are like 135.
Okay.
And he asked me, he says, I don't want to seem arrogant or insult, he said, but what makes you think you're going to be able to make money on this property at what you offer? I said, we run the numbers, and if the numbers work, then we got a deal. I says, because he's been getting offers at $30,000 and, you know, whatever,
yeah,
real cheap, low-ball offers. I said,
yeah,
we try to make a fair offer. We try making you a good deal so that you come away feeling like you got what you expected out of it, and we can still make money on the other side. We're not trying to stick a fat hog here. We're trying to, you know, make a fair deal for you. So
yeah, win-win for both sides.
Yeah, so he kind of calmed down a little bit about it, and I asked him, I said, so, you know, if you're a little uncomfortable with your situation, I'll put a kick-out clause in it, because he had referred back to his $50,000 offer buyer. I says, you know, I've got no problem. If you want to put a kick-out in there, I'll give you that offering. And he kind of didn't really pursue it. He's like, oh, okay, no, we're all right. So I said, well, I'll go ahead and I'll send you the paperwork over. And
yep,
and we'll get it signed. I asked him. I signed up with Sign Now.
Okay.
And I ran some back and forth to myself, just making
yep
sure that I understood
figure
the
it
process
out
and everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
So I went ahead and fired it off to him. He got it.
Cool.
And he didn't send back right away. So I kind of was thinking, well, maybe he was just real uncomfortable, and thought maybe he did fumble it, and he was gonna back out of it. So I ended up just sending him a text about an hour later, and just said, if you have any questions or anything, please let me know. You know, and let me know to make sure you got it. And he did. He said, I got it. Then, right about 7:30 last night, their time, I sent him another one, just checking in with him, making sure that everything came through. If you had any questions, please let me know. And I didn't hear back from him, so I thought, we probably messed this one up. So then this morning, I start doing my work, and I get an email through. He went ahead and signed it this morning. So
nice. Okay.
It was kind of one of those little touch-and-go things on our first deal.
Man, here's what's cool about this is, first of all, you still got the paperwork signed, right? But
yeah,
the fumble probably caused you to answer a couple extra questions, but this ended up being a really good experience for you, obviously, because what happened is you threw a little doubt into your seller's mind, and then you had to overcome it, and you were kind of on the hot seat for a little bit, you know, wondering what's he going to do, and then he's throwing a couple questions your way, and then it just forced you to explain it. And that's the thing, you guys, is just full disclosure. I mean, if you guys drop the ball, that's how that conversation goes. And first thing I have to do is apologize. You know, I don't know your acquisitions guy's name, Mike, but you come out and you say, hey, you know, he and I were talking, you know, it's just the two of us. I thought he was going to get the paperwork over to you. He thought I was going to do it. And I'll be honest with you, we just totally fumbled the ball. So first thing I do is my apologies. Let's go ahead and get this wrapped up. I mean, just call it what it is. Don't come up with an excuse, a reason. Because the second you try and hide something, they don't know what you're hiding. They can just – you guys can sense it. I can sense it. Hey, this person's hiding something. I'm out. This doesn't feel right. So just call, you know, call it. Here's what happened. Apologies, you know. We're this doesn't use, you know, this is a really rare occurrence, but here's what happened. And so, yeah, all that to say, you know, the result, you still got the signed contract, which is good, yeah. And great learning experience to kind of screw something up, get put on the hot seat a little bit, have a couple questions come your way, and just be able to, you know, shoot them back an answer. And it still worked out. So who's your buyer on this thing?
So I put it out to about four of them this afternoon. Waiting to hear back from two of them on it. They were looking at it. One of them, I think it's a bit of a stretch. I think he actually works out of Richmond and does buy in Virginia Beach area, but he's looking for like 48% profit on his ARV, and this one here is probably about 35%.
So here's a question for that. Here's a question for those buyers.
Mm-hmm.
You get somebody that comes back to you and says, "I'm looking for X."
Yeah.
The very next question that you say, so what they tell you, they want a 45% return?
48, 27.
Okay. So I'm talking to Mike. Mike's the buyer, and Mike says, "I'm looking for a 45% return." The very next question is, okay, Mike, so let me get this straight. If I come across a deal that's like a 38 to 42% return, you don't even want me to send it over, right? And then shut up, like I just did. That, when you're talking to buyers, that is the question. I just had to do this the other day. I'm talking to a fund. So what kind of cap rate are you guys looking for on a turnkey rental? 18 cap. Very next question. So if I have a 15 to 16, I shouldn't even send it over. Is that what you're telling me? And he's like, well, we'll look at anything. Okay. Came on. So they want an 18 cap, but they're willing. Then he says, we're willing to look at anything. Send over anything you have. So put that one back in the memory banks, that the second a buyer sends you or tells you something, you immediately go to a question. And what you're basically doing is saying, okay, you want a smoking deal. If I have a great deal, you don't even want me to send it over. Am I hearing you right? Take it away, right? Take away the deal that's slightly below where they're at. So now, on that 45% buyer, if you didn't ask that, you're kind of stuck at where you're at. But, I mean, you can still go back and say, hey, you know, Mike, you told me you only buy 45% returns. I've got something that's in the high 30s. I'm assuming you don't even want to see it. Am I correct? And see what they say. But what you'll find is with a good little question right after what they tell you, they probably buy a little more flexible than what they're saying.
Yeah. Now, he is evaluating the deal. He buys only in like a couple places in Portsmouth where this house is at.
Okay.
He's real familiar with Richmond. He does invest in the other area, but he's more selective. So he said he would look at it, and I said no problem. So so that one there, I think I'll stay on it tomorrow and keep.
Here's what I want. What I want your goal to be is 10 buyers a day. You've got a live one. Don't have a big buyers list yet. See if you can tell the story on this deal 10 times a day. And speaking of what's the story on this deal? Tell it to us. Just to practice.
So, it's a 4-2.
Yep.
Two story. It's in a probably a C neighborhood.
Okay.
It's actually already had windows put in the property.
Needs okay.
Some siding and some little roof work. It's actually got slate roof on it.
Okay.
So I tell me the fix up on it is going to be around 25.
Okay.
And ARV is about 135.
Yep.
And the sale price on it's $65,000. And then I'm also
selling. So you think this is a little flip?
I think it, and I'm explaining it'll go either way.
That's the thing, and I think that's got to be part of your story.
Yeah. And it is, and I'll tell them, and even in the emails, I'm sending them, I'm saying it'll work as a fix and flip or a buy and hold. It, you know, the numbers favor it as a fix and flip, but it'll work as a 10.5 cap with a buy and hold.
Okay, because that so you have 25,000 fix and flip. What do you think the fix up is rent for a rental?
Probably around 12 to 15 on the top.
Okay, so make sure you have those numbers there. Here's what I'm telling you. That'll lend boatloads of credibility to what you're doing is kick out the numbers and have them as a part of your story. If you have to script the story for your first couple deals, script it out and almost read that sucker when you get a buyer on the line. So what does this thing rent for?
The rents are right at about $995.
$995 times 70%, $696.50 times 12, divided by a 10 cap, you pay $83.5 minus. What do you think rental fix-up is?
Around probably 15. I'd say 15, just to be safe, yeah. It's already got windows in it, so it's probably not going to be that much. But.
And what are you selling it for?
$65.
Okay, so a 10 cap buyer could pay $68.580, so you're probably closer to 11.
Yeah,
so there's a little 60. Yeah, a little bit of closing costs in there. You got it about spot on, a 10 cap rental, and so the other numbers are what's ARV?
ARV is about 135, and fix
so
up
135,000 minus 25,000 is 110 times 0.65 is kind of a normal math, and that's 71.5, and you're moving it at 65.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like this thing. So 65,000 plus 25 is obviously 90. There's some room in that. Yeah, tell this both ways.
Yeah, and I have been letting them know. Some of the buyers are both ways. They do have rentals themselves. One guy had told me that he's a 10 cap. You know, he's comfortable with a 10 cap. And we'll buy in the deepest war zone in the areas. Don't really worry about it. So,
does he do his own fix up?
He does some. He's been doing some fix and flip.
Okay.
So he's one of the callers. I have an email and a buyer, or email and a voicemail to him. I haven't heard back from him yet.
Here's the other thing too. When you're selling this thing, it is always urgent. So just like getting the paperwork back. I'm going to call you up on the phone and say, Mike, from what you're telling me, this fits. What does your schedule look like this afternoon? When can you get by and see it?
Okay.
And then it's going out there. And then say, I like to throw this out there. Say, hey, man, I don't do this highest and best, you know, get 10 investors interested. This is first come, first serve. These numbers are good. They fit what you're telling me you buy. And I just go, you know, first to get earnest money in. That's the winner. I'm not ever going to call highest and best. I'm just going to make my price. I sell deals at a fair price. I leave enough room on that back end, as you can see, for you to make money. Because I don't want to sell you one deal. I want to sell you as many as you want on an annual basis, right?
Yeah.
So knock this thing out. When can you get over and see it? And then just shut up. I mean, we are in sales. And this is the reason why when we're talking about building a team, specifically acquisitions and dispositions, if you can't sell, you have to find somebody. You have to put somebody on the team that can. Because you have to. It's amazing. Very few deals will you send out there and somebody will call you up and say, I'll take it. And you don't have to close anything. Just the numbers alone will do it. Now, as your buyers list grows and as you sell multiple deals to buyers, that will happen where they'll just say, it's another deal from Mike. Here are the numbers. The last three have worked. I trust him. Let me go see it and I'll take it. But you have to sell deals. And in order to sell, you have to close. And I don't care if you don't like sales. It's a must. Nothing happens in this world without sales, right? So if you don't like it, you have to get over it and start selling. I'm not wired to sell. But what I've learned over the years, just being on the phone and doing some acquisitions for Rob and that kind of thing, is that you have to be able to flip in and out of sales mode. Right? You just put on your high D salesperson hat and it's not comfortable at first, but if, you know, get through it a couple of times, or you've got to have that person on your team that can sell, and you've just got to close them on the deal. And you're going to go right with, I'm going to run down the list. and say, if I know your buying criteria, I'm going to say, Mike, this fits exactly what you're looking for.
Okay.
Let's get you by it at an inspection. You're going to like it. First come, first serve on earnest money. Here's the title company. Can you inspect it today and get earnest money in by 10 a.m. tomorrow?
Okay.
I'll get the paperwork ready to go.
So I have a question on
close it up.
You mentioned on the process of opening escrow and going through all that. So what is that process?
As soon as you have signed paperwork, go to title. Go to title. Because what's going to happen now is on a good deal, there's a chance that you get it, you find the end buyer before the title work's even back. But you need to see what's on title to make sure there aren't hidden liens or whatever that you have to work through.
Okay.
So, like, we got a contract back today. As soon as I get it, I save it to my computer. I go into that FreedomSoft, the lead. I click on attachments, and I upload it. So it's tied to the lead record. And the very next thing I do is open up an email to the title company that says, new order, see attached contract. And email's out there.
Okay.
So if you do you have your title company?
He has one, actually, on this property. He has one that he works with.
Okay. So the contract has to go to them.
Yeah, which so the contract actually goes to them.
The contract goes to them, absolutely.
Okay.
If you have what's your earnest money on it?
$10.
Okay, $10 goes to the title company. Send it today.
So
whenever, as soon as the paperwork's back.
So I guess so I sent him the $10, not the
okay, in the yep, in the future, yep, in the future, fire at the title.
Okay,
yep. No worries.
So the earnest goes to the title company.
Earnest money to title. Yeah, and even, you know, sometimes we're thinking, ah, it's only $10. That it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whether it's $10 or $10,000, shoot at the title.
Okay, so once we have contract, so we don't actually need to. That earnest money's just being held by them. We don't actually need to send them anything. It's just going into escrow. It's going into
escrow.
Yeah,
they'll hold the $10. The title company will hold the $10. And then technically, at closing, it's whatever your purchase price is minus 10. That's all that's due to buy the house because title has the other 10.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha.
That's why most, just about every contract will say purchase price, earnest money, balance, and then sometimes purchase price will be listed again.
Okay.
So if you're at 60,000, right? 60 grand, 59,990, and then total purchase price 60 grand. So,
okay.
Yep. Yeah, no big deal.
We'll get it. So, the second property, I'm actually waiting for this gentleman to send paperwork back also.
But
he was one we were supposed to contact the other day. I called him, got a hold of him this morning, and he was fine. He had no issues. He actually owns about 50 rentals.
Okay.
And he's a numbers guy. You know, he's an older, I think he said he was 73, and he's kind of looking like he wants to wind down a little bit.
Love it.
So he's definitely interested. He accepted our offer of 70 on his house.
Okay.
He's kind of old school. I tried to get him to do the e-sign,
he wanted paper?
The electronic. No, I'm not sure exactly what happened. I had to talk with my sales guy this afternoon. So I sent him the invitation to sign the paperwork, and his assistant was trying to access it. And as far as I could tell on my side, I sent it through. When I sent it to myself, opened it up, I signed it, and it sent me another email back to my other one saying, hey, contract is signed. And he had said that they were trying to get him to, and I don't know if he was selecting the right spot. Again, this is kind of learning curve on it. But he said it was trying to ask him to set up an account and put a credit card number. And he's like, and I won't put my credit card numbers on any website. So go ahead and send it to me snail mail or something like that. And I says, well, this is what we can do. I says, how about I just email you? I'll sign mine, email it to you. You sign yours, scan it in, and email it back to me. And he's like, oh, yeah, that'll work. That's fine.
Okay. So the other thing
kind
is
of
you
a
non-techno
guy.
Your acquisitions guy's down there. You can send him with hard copy and a pen
Yeah.
So that's what, you know, a good bird dog,
mm-hmm.
right? Any kind of property runner, that kind of thing. So it sounds like you have it worked out. But yeah, that's perfect. Whatever
so I'm waiting for that one to come back and, you know, they are a little bit slower paced down there. They're not in no big hurry to do anything real fast. So
I would have gone, tell you what, let's just make this as easy as possible.
Yeah.
I'll get this into, you know, so-and-so's hands that you spoke with. He's in your neighborhood. And what's a good time and a location? You want to meet him somewhere, have him stop by the house? What works best for you? And I'll just have him show up with it. That way you're a little more in control of it. There are fewer steps. Again, this is all paint the picture. Here's why we're going to do this for your benefit, even though this mm-hmm. is what you want. And now your team controls it. They're going to show up, come out to the house, right? They're going to sign it, that kind of thing. And then just let your salesperson know, hey, if they have any questions and you get stuck, call me on cell and put me on speaker, and I'll talk you through this thing.
They shouldn't have had to do anything but just sign into it on the email and open it up and sign it, right? They don't have to actually have an account with
No, absolutely not. You have the account.
So it must have been.
Yeah, figure out, get to the bottom of how that got set up. Something was wonky there. But make sure, there's always a learning curve, right? FreedomSoft has one, HelloSign, that kind of thing. Just get this dialed, you know, and that's why you get in the middle of it and just work out some of these kinks. So it sounds like it's going to be okay still. I would have gone to, like I said, have your person drive out. That would have been slightly better. But hopefully it just comes back and you're good.
Yeah, we'll keep working on it. So I have another contract that they accepted the verbal on, and it was kind of a weird. Again, my sales guy's trying to dial in his verbiage, but we had given the guy an offer range of 12-20 on this property, and he said, okay, all right, I'll take that. But he says, I want you to come take a look at the house, and then we can figure where it's at in between there. And my sales guy's still in that mode where he's getting better, but he still has that tendency to want to go and look at the properties. And so he set up an appointment with him kind of prematurely to do it. Like, you know, and I'm trying to get, and he's understanding, he's kind of getting it, because, you know, I said, it's important we get, and this was happening prior, so it's important we get these deals signed. I said, it doesn't matter if we're in the middle of that. We're at 15 and we get it signed, or we get it at 20 and we go and look at it and we say, hey, you know what? We said 12 to 20, it's signed at 20, it's not going to work at 20. It's going to be 12.
Yep.
We either resign it or let it go, one or the other.
Yep.
I said, so we're not chasing our own tail. So he's already had made a verbal commitment to go and see it, even though the guy accepted our range. So I'm just going to let that work its way through, so we're not, again, not following up an opportunity.
It can work either way. And either way, right, you can just paint the picture that if you have to go inspect it before the offer, you're going to paint the picture and say, here's our offer. I'll tell you why we do it this way. In this case, I wouldn't say that, but I'll tell you why we do it this way. Because what most investors are going to do is they're going to offer more than they know they can pay. Then they're going to go through an inspection. Then they're going to say, oh, wait, we found 10 more items. And they're going to come back to you and say, now we can pay half of what we offered. And so here's the thing. We're just going to be upfront with you. We've already seen the property. So if you have to go that way, just build it into the wording that this is, again, to your benefit. Every time it's to the seller's benefit, no matter what you're doing, it's to the seller's benefit, right?
For sure. So that one there is a smaller little property. Look it up here. It is a 2-1, 869 square foot.
Was it rent for $750?
It rents for about $700.
Okay. What do you have it for?
Go ahead. So at 12 is what my original. So this would be a buy and hold property.
Yep.
At 20, I put in the highest of my evaluation with 15 and fix up. It looks like it'll be about a 13 cap with $10,000 acquisition.
So you're trying to sell it at 20?
Yeah, sell it to an investor at 20.
Yep, at 20, and then it needs 15.
Yep.
So they're in at 35, and it rents at 700.
They'll be in it at 45.
45?
Yeah, with another 10 on that commission. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
Wait, so you have it at 20 or 10?
It'll be at 30 to the seller. I'm sorry.
Okay, 30 to the seller, 15.
Yeah.
Okay, so 700 times 0.7 is 490, times 12 is 5880, divided by, so you're saying acquisitions is 30 and 45, or plus 15 is 45, and call it 1,000 in closing costs, so 46 grand. 12.8 cap, so nice. Just double.
Yeah,
I know you're running the numbers good, but it's good stuff.
Yeah.
You're spot on.
So, and that one there, the 10,000, I just kind of started putting the closing and our acquisition in that number just to keep the number math simple and rounding
yep.
it up. So I'm looking at, you know, probably around 9 is what I'm expecting. And I'm willing to come down from that if we can't find the right buyer for it. So I'm just trying to set my mark high, allowing me to come down and still make enough on it. If I make nine grand,
you said you have a 10. You said you have a 10 cap buyer.
Yeah.
That'll buy in the hood. So what is this a little C neighborhood? C minus?
This one here I think is actually this is probably a C minus.
Okay. But they flat out told you I'll buy a 10. Does he buy 2 1s?
He will.
Yeah. Okay.
He buys all kinds of different stuff. He's a pretty active. He's got 40 properties.
How many?
He's in black 40.
40.
And
fantastic.
He's in buy mode. He actually had up to 200 at one time.
Holy cow.
And then scaled back to 40. And now he's actually kind of moving back up again.
Oh man, tell him if you're trying to get to 100 or 200 again, I'm your guy. I'm gonna help you get there.
Yeah. He was a.
Ask him how many 10 cap deals can you buy a month? I'm gonna start bringing them to you.
Yeah.
How many? How many do you want a month?
Yeah. So that's the third one. The gentleman that has the 100 properties that we're working on.
Yeah.
I told my sales guy we need to refine our system or our approach before we make sure we're communicating well and we know what we're doing before we get him on the line. I don't want to have him have any hesitation at all. We want to let him know that we're in here, we mean business. You know, we're gonna take care of you, we're gonna do whatever we can to get buyers in here ASAP. So I told him let's hold off, make sure we're get a few of these other deals under our belt and then we'll come at him with a deal, and I think we'll be able to put something together with him. I really do. I think
here's what you have to start asking. When you're talking to every buyer, and they're saying they buy onesie, twosie, great, but like this guy you were just talking to, his portfolio is at 40, but he's building again.
Yeah.
That's the kind of person that says, hey, it's a bit of a long shot right now, but I'm having a conversation with a guy that's just had it with his rental portfolio. He's got 100 properties. 90% occupied, bam, bam, bam. Is that up your alley? And if yes or no, and if no, who do you know that buys that? Because somebody that – a local investor that used to own 200 and now owns 40 and is building again knows other serious landlords in the area. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
You can also go to title companies and say, hey, I'm an investor. I'm working on a deal. Who do you know that buys 100 at a time? Definitely property managers, right? And you can also go online and just Google like single-family real estate funds, bulk real estate buyers, that kind of thing. Because a fund, I mean, they have, right, some of these things have hundreds of millions of dollars to spend in real estate. So you're going to come at them with 100 properties, and, you know, they're going to be like, do you have 100 more? Do you have 200 more? Do you have 300 more? Right? You just get to that place where, when you start talking about deals like that, I mean, we look up at a pack of 100 deals and say, holy smokes. And then that can get you into a world where people are saying, do you only have 100? Can you get us 100 more? Right. So Brad and Rob found a bulk buyer and they're not ready to buy yet, but they said they told them a few months ago, they said, we buy no less than 25 at a time. Is that something you guys can put together? And they said, absolutely. So when they get ready to buy, right, a couple months out, they're going to plan ahead. They're trying to pull down 10 a month. They're not always hitting it in Memphis, just, right? Just to let you know, that's the team's goal, 10 a month. They have obviously hit it in certain months, but they're trying to get there consistent. But what they're going to do is they're going to take them down, fix them up, rent them out, own them for a little bit, package up 25, and then move them. So it just, you know, it's such a cool business where you can just, you know, talk to buyers. This is why we keep talking to buyers.
Yeah.
This is why we got, right? We have to meet buyers on a weekly basis. Generate leads, make offers, meet buyers. This is why. Because you just never know what you're going to come across.
This Hunter Deal thing just kind of opened up my thought. When I first talked to this guy 3-4 weeks ago, I'm just getting my feet in the water. I was just trying to, you know, I thought about it, and I had him on the list to call back because I'd definitely seen, you know, some potential for future.
Yeah.
After my sales guy talked to him, finding out and getting actually the better information out of him, it opened up my whole thought about even some of these other buyers I'm talking to. This guy that we're waiting to get paperwork back on this one property that has 50, and he's 73, and he kind of has that pulling back kind of mentality. And if, you know, we can put a deal together with a hunter, I'll start going back to these guys that got 50 and say, hey, you know what? If I brought you a buyer that's interested in your whole block of properties, something you'd be you want to talk about, and just start going
with them all. Absolutely,
it
works both ways.
Yeah.
You can go as your buyers list grows. If you had 400 people on your buyers list, and you came across this seller and said, "I'll move all 100," an email goes out to your buyers list. Hey, working on a, and it's right. It's going to say, "Hey, first name." It's right. It's going to be an email blast. But if it comes to me, it's going to say, "Hey, Mike. Just found a seller who's looking to move his whole portfolio. It's 100 properties, 95% are rented. Here's the average rents, bam, 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 bam. If this is up your alley or you know somebody who it is, call me. Here's my number." And you're just going to tap into that network because somebody's either going to be the person or they're going to know somebody. And that's how these deals get put together. And then just like you said, you meet a buyer now on your buyer's list that says, here's what's going on, and then you go to your buyer's list again. Hey, guys, I'm looking for bulk purchase deals, 50 properties or more. Do you know anybody selling that's just looking to dump a big portion of their portfolio, the whole thing, bam, bam, bam? If you come across that, hit me up. Let me know. So that's the network. Your buyer's list is the network that you're going to tap into. And that's where right? We talk about it all the time on here. It's where you're going to sell a single deal, and it's where you're going to put partnerships, just who knows what together. Unique deals like this, bulk purchases. Because 100 properties in the bulk purchase world is like small to medium, right? I mean, banks will move, and they usually do it in the form of paper, and they're selling the note, but they'll move thousands at a time. Right, wait till the economy crashes again. I mean, it happens now, but they'll start dumping and peeling off. You know, large banks will take back all these properties, and they'll just start peeling them off and say, hey, we're going to sell whatever, 2,500 properties at a time. And it just starts moving on on this huge scale. But, we were talking about it last week. All of you at some point or another, you're going to come across the same thing. And it usually doesn't take that long where you either meet somebody who owns 40, 50, 60 plus, or you come across somebody that is saying, hey, I'll sell you the whole thing. So, this is cool. I'm hoping you guys can put it together. Be a strong payday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm just trying to get the first one, so I don't want to think too far down the road. But it's a potential. It's there. It's something I think we can make work.
Yeah, for sure. It's fun to turn one and make $5,000, and it's fun to have something like this come your way too. So it's all fun.
So other than that, I'm good. I just we're gonna keep. I got a guy, Spirit Dog, bringing in a ton of leads for me out of Richmond. Just killing it. Sent me in
nice
190 last week.
Nice.
I'm gonna just keep him sending them in, even if we're not tapping into it fast enough, I'll just keep accumulating them.
And, hey, as you're going too, have a VA. There's a training video in the classroom. Mm-hmm. If you go to the classroom page in FreedomSoft, the top series of videos in the middle, there's a four-video series called Built-In SMS Text and Voicemail System. Video four is how to send out text messages to generate leads. Get another VA. This is mindless work. They're going to copy and paste. Watch that video. Hire another VA to do that for you an hour a day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And just have them follow that video, and you'll pay them $5 to $6 an hour. So, you know, $15 to $20 a week, and they'll start sending the exact same text message out to landlords in the area. Not everybody's going to be interested in selling, but some of them will. And the ones who say no, lead with the sale. It'll all make sense when you watch the video. They're just going to send out a text message that says, "Hey, I saw your rental ad on Craigslist. You wouldn't be interested in selling, would you?" People will reply yes or no. Some of them will tell you, you know, leave me alone or be crazy, which is fine. The ones who say yes, you can go into a conversation, your acquisitions person. The ones who say no, tell that VA to shoot back a text message that says, thanks for your reply. Are you still buying in the area by chance? And see if they can convert them to buyers for you.
Okay, so very simple. Just walk through the video, and it's pretty self-explanatory.
Walk through the video. Yep. You'll set up a campaign. You'll tie a phone number to it, and you'll hire a VA. And honestly, they can watch the same video. Just give them permission to see the classroom, and have the video train them.
So pick up another FreedomSoft number associated to that campaign.
You got it. Grab a local one down there, whichever market you're in. And have them do, you know, if it's an hour a week, 2 hours a week, three a week, whatever, you decide. But have them start shooting text messages out for you.
Okay.
Add that in.
Got it.
Cool.
So,
who else?
Somebody else get in here.
All right. Who else?
Hey, this is Darren.
Darren, what's going on? You're in Croatia for 2 months or what?
I don't work anymore.
Unbelievable.
Did
you get your TV show?
No, we're working on
Serious?
It. We're working on it.
Still in the works?
Yeah, it's still in the works. We actually we're jumping ship from one producer to another here, so we're kind of starting from square one, but
gotcha.
Certain things just weren't working out with this one, so but
so watch for a flipping Cleveland HG or whatever show,
right?
Future with Darren and Kate.
Yeah. So we kind of were limping along with the wholesaling for a while there though, but we struck gold with students who are looking for internships. So Sawyer's still with us. We picked up an intern that started with us 3 weeks ago. He's been bird dogging twice a week for us. He generates about 100 leads a week. And then what he does is two days a week, he's out bird dogging for 2 hours each day.
Okay.
And then 2 days a week, he comes into the office from 1 o'clock until six. They just left just now. And they make calls together. So one's teeing up the calls for the other guy. And hopefully eventually what's going to happen is Josh, the intern, is going to probably find that he's going to make more money just being on the calls.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
You know, doing deals, and he's going to want to do less bird dogging. So we're lining up more interns who are going to start with us in May to pick up the bird dogging, and then they're going to do the same thing. So we're going to just kind of graduate them up through from bird dogging all the way up through closing deals on their own. So,
and how are you finding these people?
Well, we were having such a hard time finding people to actually do work as a bird dog. I mean, in the beginning, I found a bunch right away, and they were killing it. And then we went through, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 people where we would talk to them, interview them, get them the app, tell them what we wanted, and then they just never would produce anything. So finally we had to overcome this, and I just said, look, let's find some people who are not just interested in it seemed like everybody off Craigslist was just interested in the $3. I was like, we need somebody who's interested in learning the business. And so let's go find some interns who don't really care about the money but want a piece of coming into the office and learning what we're doing. And
nice.
So
okay.
It's been so the one thing, though, the one hurdle that he had to get through was you can't just call up and get put on the list. Your company has to qualify. Unfortunately, I don't know what the qualifications are because Sawyer did it for us, but my other company, Relief Properties, met the criteria. So they're basically interning for Relief, but wholesaling for 5-star cash buyers. So
cool. Nice. Hey, this is business, right? Get creative. It's always a personnel challenge.
Right.
Another topic we visit a lot. You know, it's about the how-tos, but the personnel side is to any business. It's always a challenge. So it just is.
Right.
We face it head on. And
yeah, I think for these kids, you know, to make $200 a week working for 4 hours is like insane.
Gold mine.
Amount of money.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to post another ad. You just ask them, who do you know that's looking, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. They so we actually reduced the amount that we're paying them for bird dogging down to $1.50 because he's out for 4 hours a week and he's making $200-$300. And he's like,
right.
You know, that's more than he even needs to make.
Right. Just living large. Cool.
Just living good. And like
everybody wins.
Yeah. Right. And so I said, you know, you're making good money now. I said, but honestly, spend the time on the phones learning how to tee these up for Sawyer and then eventually close your own deals. And I said, you really will find that the value, you know, to yourself and to us is going to be on the phones. And so I want to transition you into a salesperson. So
here's what I'll tell you is give them all a disc test because you don't want a non-salesperson burning leads. Now, if you have somebody that's just teeing up Sawyer, and their only job is to connect with people and be likable and hand them over, they don't have to be a closer.
Right.
But you want to know, you need to know, here's what this person's personality type is, and then guide them into where they're going to be successful. So don't bypass that personality test because
good point.
You will.
And I may not even hire them as a bird dog either because
the goal don't is make
to
a not closer.
Have them be
Don't let a non-high D person close. They'll waste leads.
Got it.
They'll get that first sign. I mean, you weren't on here when Mike told – he was just talking about this deal, this package deal of 100. He has a sales guy in the acquisition seat, and they got a hold of this dude. He's like – I think he's in his 90s.
Wow.
Mike can correct me if I'm wrong, but he's got 100.
Yeah,
the first thing he says is not a chance. Basically, don't talk to me, yada, yada, yada.
Not
interested.
Chance?
If you're not a high D, that phone call's over. But his salesperson has experience, and so he asked this really creative question. He goes, well, what are you going to do with them? He's like, I'm going to turn them over to my son. But the guy goes, he doesn't really want anything to do with them. And so Mike's acquisition guy goes, so let me get this straight. You're going to turn over 100 properties to your son who doesn't want anything to do with them, and because of that, he's going to let them go for pennies on the dollar and just piss them away?
Oh, so he made him feel like he was going to do worse than what he was offering right now.
He goes, oh, yeah, it's a good point. Let's have a conversation.
My
point here is a non-salesperson that's not looking for the sale, they never ask that question. They say, hey, sorry to bother you. Have a great day. And it doesn't go any forward. It doesn't go forward.
Hmm. What would you say? So I'm trying to figure out a bonus structure for Josh, the bird dog guy. On deals that we close, I just don't know really what to offer him. Like, what is – so let's say that he tees the deal up for Sawyer and Sawyer closes it. How would you split that between – would you split it between Sawyer and –
That's a two-part close. Yeah.
So what is
that's,
it, 50-50?
I mean, if you're paying a 20% commission, that's a two-part close. I don't know how you have Sawyer set up, but
Sawyer
in the sales world, that's how it would work. You tee them up and
let me jump on and close them, that would be split 50-50. That would be normal. Now, normal can be whatever you make it. So if you want to throw them $100, $200, $500, and Sawyer's really doing the legwork, because the skill is in the sale.
Right.
Right? I mean, that other person can follow a script and be likable, and, both pieces are important. I don't know if you can go wrong here, but 50-50 wouldn't be out of the question.
Right.
I think something that's not that, and Sawyer is really your point man. Everybody else is maybe a little more expendable and, interning and, $500.
Well,
I think you make it. What would be worth their while that they would get on the phone and do the best job possible setting people up so they really put it on a tee for Sawyer and he can just call up and close it.
Right. Well, what about even more long-term, though? I'm thinking eventually if Sawyer had four or five guys working for him and he's basically the guy that's managing the team,
yep.
What type of split has – I'm sure that Rob has had this set up before where you've got somebody managing the team, managing the lead flow, because I'm not doing anything anymore. They handle all of it from getting the leads to getting them skip trace to all of it, everything.
I wouldn't give up more than 20%. So I think it could look something like person teeing it up 8 to 12, 8 to 15, something like that, and leave the difference between that number and 20 for Sawyer. There isn't really a – I know you want just a definitive answer here, but there isn't one. I mean, what do you think works? Now, what I'm telling you is I wouldn't give up more than 20% on acquisitions. Is Sawyer doing dispositions as well?
He is.
Okay, so you can probably go to 30, Sawyer included, but our acquisitions and dispositions, but Sawyer's going to be wearing two hats. He's probably overseeing the acquisitions team and closing, and then maybe it's 10% on the sale, but he can still earn, 5, 6, 7 based on the two-part close. You could do 8 and 8, give up 16 up front and another 10 for Sawyer on the back. 20, I'd say 30% tops acquisitions and dispositions.
Got it. So Sawyer right now would get all 10 of the dispositions.
Rob talks about dispositions as the easiest job in the business on their team.
Yeah.
Especially you work harder up front, but they're at a place now in Memphis where they have plenty of buyers. I mean, if you have 20 people that are always looking, you can sell, you can run major volume. And so their dispositions guy now, I mean, he'll fire out an email. They have a lot of repeat buyers. Sometimes he'll shoot a few text messages, make a few phone calls, but, I mean, good deals are moving inside of 48 hours. They're sold.
Right.
So it's not hard.
It's almost unfair because the disposition guy's making so much and he's not working nearly as hard.
Well, if you have independent salespeople that can make up to 20 and dispositions maxes out at 10, that's just where you have to figure this out with your team. I think what probably happens is Sawyer makes maybe the majority of his 10% dispositions, and then maybe he's making 5 to 8 on the acquisitions. And that still leaves enough room in there for somebody to come in and make 8 to 12, maybe 8 to 15% when they tie a deal up, if they hit their goal or not, something like that.
Got it. All right, that's where we're at. We're
you
just going to keep rolling.
Here's the thing. You can kind of work backwards. You can get serious sales talent if you can get them into $1,500 a week, $6,000 a month. If you can show them how to make $1,500 a week and then up, you can recruit really quality people at $6,000 a month.
Right. We just got to prove it.
Yep.
All right. We got some work cut out for us.
Yeah, all of us do. good stuff, though. This is, I hope, and some of you will enjoy this more than others, but I find the business side of this business challenging and fun at the same time. I think a lot of it is pretty, you know, it's not just cut and dry. It's not just, there isn't a book that just says, here's the recipe for to run a business. People have said, you know, they've just written books on here's the different ways we solve these problems. But this is, everybody here, we all call ourselves entrepreneur. And what entrepreneurs do is, one, we create problems, and two, we solve problems, right? We create problems by saying, hey, we just got a contract back today. We got to figure out what to do with it, right? We create problems to then go solve. And when problems get solved, we get paid, right? And we've all heard this analogy before somewhere or another, but we solve bigger problems, we get paid more. So if Mike can solve how to help this guy get rid of 100 properties at once, he'll get paid more than when we help somebody sell one, solve one problem, right? One property versus 100. You get paid in proportion. So if the problems that you're able to solve are, cans on the bottom, bread on the top when you bag groceries, that's what you can get paid, minimum wage. If we can solve problems like, hey, I've got 100 rental properties that I'd like to get rid of, and we can solve those, then we can get paid a heck of a lot more. So this is what we do. It's not really about real estate. This is about we create problems, find problems that exist, and we bring solutions to the table. That's where that's what entrepreneurship is about, right? I love when these calls go to personnel, even though it's usually the point of highest frustration for me included. But that's when we're being entrepreneurs and not real estate investors. And if we can get that through our head that we are, first, we're entrepreneurs. Second, we chose real estate as our commodity. If we can think of this business in that order, we end up a heck of a lot better 5 years down the road than if we think we're real estate investor first. That's how we create a job. So
that was the whole idea, though, Mike, over the last couple of months, is like, I knew if I got on the phones, I could make the sales happen myself. I could do it. But that would just be me dedicating more hours to making money.
Right.
And I just don't have any more hours. So I figure, like, if I can get these guys to do a B-plus job or an A-minus job, then that's what my real challenge is just getting a team of other people to be able to execute this so I can make a piece of nothing.
That's absolutely the challenge.
Right,
yeah.
It's a challenge to get
somebody else
to be able to execute it.
Hey,
that's what I'm working on so hard.
There are millions of people who call themselves and want to be real estate investors. There are a much smaller number who actually close deals, and there's a really small percentage that have a business that functions when they're not there. Really small. That's what we're after. So, we're not building something that's simple. We're building something that's worth it. But that doesn't mean every step is easy. So, but this is the stuff that people don't figure out. And then they trade a corporate job for a real estate job. So
it's awful.
I'm just saying, I'm really patting you all on the back and saying, you know, nice job. These are the conversations. It is about when to open escrow and that kind of stuff, but it's more so about how do we find, hire, train, motivate people so that this will happen without me there. That's where it's got to go. And that, you know, this call goes, at least part of this call goes there just about every time, which is awesome because that's my favorite part to talk about. So you all have embraced the challenge, which is cool. What else? All right, I'm going to go make a snow angel and try not to get frostbite in the 10-degree weather. Darren, what's the temperature in Cleveland? Are you guys competing with us or no?
it's rainy today and like in the 40s, I think.
Okay, you've got that. You've got that Chicago weather. I talked to my cousin earlier. It's 55 and rainy.
Right.
This hit us from this storm hit us from the north and east though, so I bet it doesn't come your way. But it was almost 70 yesterday, and people in flip flops, and today it's 10 degrees and snowing.
Whoa.
Anyway, I'm just mad about it because I like. What's that?
We're getting the 70s tomorrow.
Ah, suckers. Mm-hmm. Here's what's funny
is the storm.
I looked in the mountains today, this morning when I got up for leave for work. We're at 10 degrees, and I checked out one of my favorite fishing spots up in the mountains, and it was 35, 40. So this is one of those crazy storms that came in from the northeast and is just pounding the city. It's actually warmer and sunnier in the mountains, which is kind of funny. Anyway, Mike Duration was all about that.
I want to come do some fishing.
Yeah, man. I'm going Friday if you want to fly out.
Hey, it's a little cold. Isn't it better like another month or two?
Yeah. It'll be 30 to 35 up there, but that thins out the people. But here's an open invitation for anybody in coaching. If you want to fly fish, I don't really know how to spin fish. Don't do it. But if you find your way out here, I'll take you out. And Rob will probably go with us.
Wow.
Most likely.
I'm in.
Yeah, we're up for it. He and I, it's awesome to be on the water. Even if you don't catch anything, it's a blast. So,
sure.
Anyway, open invite.
Hey, Mike, I'd like to just make a little encouragement for anybody out there, because I was getting a little bogged down, you know, when I first started just before Christmas. And I'm about a little over 8 weeks in from the beginning, having very little experience. And, you know, I hit some pretty major obstructions trying to get bird dogs and just kept pounding and pounding and pounding, and persistence will always overcome resistance. And it took until after the first of the year before my area started even giving me any kind of signs. I was questioning, well, do I need to start in another city? What's going on here? And once the pieces started to come into place, and it started with my sales guy actually bringing leads in, starting out with him, and then obviously that turned into a kind of a unique opportunity for him and for myself because of his experiences and stuff and his willingness. That could have gone any number of other ways, but you just have to just stay steady the course, keep pushing, and things will happen. Just like you said, I'm 34 offers in. We got one signed, hopefully another one tomorrow. You just have to just keep your foot on the gas, keep your head leaning into the wind, and keep pushing. It'll happen.
That's it. I love it, because I like that you brought that up, because everybody, me included, at one point or another has thought, this market doesn't work. I'm out of here. Everybody thinks that. It's just normal. It's part of it. So, I love hearing that stuff from you all, because you expect to hear it from me, but, you know, I didn't prep Mike on this. He's just offering. So that's why we do this in a group setting. So that's killer. And it is an uphill battle. If it wasn't, everybody who calls themselves a real estate investor would close deals and build a business and build a team. And the fact is that they don't. They don't. It's uphill and it's into the wind. That's, if you call yourself entrepreneur, it's the life we've chosen. So, you know, the more frustrated you are, the closer you probably are to breakthrough. And it's just the way it works. So we're chasing something here that not everybody can roll out of bed and put together.
And another thing with my sales guy, he'd been working on it for a year. And that spent a ton of money on mailers, hadn't made one deal. And he's been actually talking to some people in the area here recently, and one investor that he spoke with said, you know, was talking to him, he says, well, how long have you guys been doing this? He says, well, my partner's been doing it for a little over 2 months, and I've been just a little over a month with him. He's like, you already have a deal going under contract? He's like, yeah.
I love it.
He's like, Jesus, you guys are doing something right.
So you guys want, you want to know what the secret is? I'm going to tell you. It's the phone call. We got a verbal today. I'm waiting for the paperwork to come back on a deal right now. And my sales guy, Chris, gets on the horn, and they're just getting resistance like, oh, yeah, we've got 20 other mailers. You know, we're getting 10 to 15 postcards a week. And so I told Chris the other day, I was like, that's perfect. You know why? Because we're going to go in with a phone call, and we're going to care about people, and we're going to ask them, does a problem exist? Can we help solve it? We're going to be likable. We're going to get to know them. We're going to spend the time, and they're going to sell to us. Because the postcard is not personal, and our phone call is. And the same person that's getting 10 to 15 postcards a week, we just sent off a contract tonight. And we have our verbal offer that was accepted is $60,250. House is in great shape. You can rent it now. The ARV is 150 to 165. There's a comp that just sold January 8th, same house, half a mile away, sold for 164. Fixed up. And we threw an offer on the table, you know, would you take $60,250? Absolutely. Why? Because Chris is likable and we didn't just send a postcard. It is everything. Because the people get numb to the postcards, and then we show up with a smiling face and ask them how their day is going. And, hey, tell me about this property a little bit. And at the end of the day, people want to do business with people they know, like, and trust. That's it. So you have to tell your team, if you're not, yes, they want the contract. Yes, they're competitive. Yes, they're in sales. But their goal is to connect with people, see if a problem exists, and educate them on how we help solve problems. That's the goal. It's all about the connection. Everybody's sending direct mail, especially in the competitive markets. People are getting bombarded with them. And I'm telling you that the investor community sees that as a negative, because their only approach is, my postcard is one of 10 or 15 that are going to show up this week. How am I going to stand out? That's challenging. And we show up with a phone call.
Hey, Mike.
That. Yeah.
What would you say would be the easiest way, or what are the key points you would tell somebody to help them connect more or faster, or, you know, what – it's hard to put your finger on exactly what you would do to be likable or to connect with the person on the phone.
Yep. I like a line. I like a line right out of the gate. Here's what I told our team the other day. Build it right into, because they called me and said, Mike, everybody's saying we're just getting 10 to 15 postcards, blaming them, that they're just lumping us in with everybody else. And I was like, great, take their objection and let's clear it right out of the gate. And so, hey, is this Darren? Yeah, it is. Hey, Darren, my name's Mike. Hey, I was calling you real quick about 123 Main Street. Do you have 2 minutes where I can ask you a couple questions about it, that vacant house you own? I've only asked you for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got 2 minutes quick. Fantastic. Let me guess, man. What are you getting, 10? How many postcards a week? 10, 15? Have you gotten 20 yet? Unbelievable. Yeah, this place is inundated. That's all the other investors seem to be doing, is firing out a postcard. And then they'll call you up and just make some random lowball offer. Has that been your experience lately? Yeah, kind of frustrating, right? Well, hey, let me do this. Here, I'm gonna be right up front with you, man. We're a small real estate company. We buy properties too. Here's where we're different. We don't just fire out postcards. We don't just take blind lowball offers, right? Here's the way I like to look at it. Yes, we buy real estate, but we solve people's problems. So here's the thing. You know, if we can go, I've probably taken up the 2 minutes I asked you for. If you have another couple, I'd like to ask you a handful of questions about your property. If you don't have a problem, if it's not causing you any kind of issue or the taxes or anything like that, and the problem doesn't exist, I don't even want it. We're only in business to solve problems. So the 2 minutes is up. I appreciate it. Do you have a couple more? Is now good? And all that does is gives us an opportunity to throw the 10 to 15 on the table, and immediately I told them why we're different than everybody else. You're getting a a postcard from and why we should have a quick little conversation. And I only asked you for 2 minutes. Can I have 2 minutes of your time? And then what has to be in the script is, hey, man, I really appreciate it. The 2 minutes that I asked you for is up. So I'd love, you know, I'd love to get to know this property a little bit more and why you bought it. Is now a good time, or do we need to schedule a call for later? And I'll give you a ring.
Right.
Back. And now we're different than the postcard people. I only need 2 minutes of your time. And if we're going beyond 2 minutes, I'm asking for your permission. So I just honored my original commitment.
That was my question is, what's the reason for asking for permission? Or so you're telling them what you're going to do and then you do it.
Absolutely. And everybody has 2 minutes. And
right.
All I did in that 2 minutes is explain why we're not the 10 to 15 postcard people that are filling up your mailbox.
And why are you not?
Well, and I come out. I was like, hey, man, I'll be honest with you. We're a small real estate company. We're looking to buy properties, too. We're just not like the other investors that send out a postcard and then blindly fire you a lowball offer. You know, yes,
okay.
We buy
That's
real estate,
why you're not like-
but our company exists to solve problems. So, you know, Darren, I've probably already used up the 2 minutes that I asked you for. If now's good, I'd like to ask you a handful of questions about the property, just kind of get to know it a little bit, why you bought it, stuff like that. Let's see if a problem exists. You know, if this thing's causing you a little heartache, you know, maybe we can have a conversation. If it's not, I don't even want to buy it from you. And I just took it away right there. If there's not a problem that exists, we don't even want it. So now we're not just greedy real estate buyers. We're problem solvers, and we diffuse that, right? And we diffuse this whole thing inside of 60 seconds and told them why we're different. And then you just go into the script and start connecting with people. So, hey, how long have you owned this thing? Yeah, what'd you buy it for? How'd that work out? Blah, blah, blah. And then they talk about cats and horses and you just go right into sales. Oh, horses, huh? How long have you owned horses for? Did you grow up with them? Now we're not even talking about real estate.
I get it. Interesting. All right, I'll pass it on to these guys. Because that's
cool.
The information, really, that within a few minutes you have to get your foot in the door, you have to connect with them, and then you have to be likable.
Absolutely.
And I feel like at certain times, I feel like I overhear these guys on the phone, and they're kind of not arguing, but sometimes it sounds like they're, like the seller will say one thing, like, oh, the property's worth this, or we're renting it, or, I know what it is. It's like, how long have you owned the property? Oh, we've owned it for a couple of years. How long has it been vacant for? Oh, it's been vacant for, you know, 8 months or something. And then, so that's a lot of motivation to sell. It's like, oh my gosh, it's been vacant for 8 months. That's, you know, you're getting it ready to rent, and it's taken you 8 months to get it ready to rent. So it seems like a lot of motivation. But then when they say, no, I want top dollar for my property, I almost feel like sometimes they're getting into this tit for tat back and forth. Like, you just told me that it's been vacant for 8 months, but now you're telling me you don't want to sell it, or you don't want to sell it to me for this price.
So here's, while I'm all for your intern thing, but the reason I told you that you have to get high D people on the phone.
Right.
And then sales is a skill. There's no doubt about it. So I'm all for hiring emerging talent, right? And not everybody's going to be great on the phone. Even salespeople are not going to be great on the phone day one. But you're, as owner, you have got to have salespeople or sales-minded people on the phone who get how this works. And if you've got somebody that's just rock star and they need some refining, fantastic, work with them. So Mike hired a sales guy for acquisitions, right? There's some real estate lingo to pick up and that kind of thing. You know, I'm all for emerging talent, which is what interns would be. I think it can work, but I'm telling you, acquisitions is everything in your business. It's everything. And they have to be able to connect with people. If you don't connect, your offer doesn't matter. And we can, I mean, we'll get deals at, this is how you'll tie up smoking deals. Because you'll connect with people. And they'll thank you for buying their property at a great price. That what we think is a great price. Because we connected with them and we were likable. And we cared about them. And we cared about, like, this verbal offer today. This lady's trying to write, needs some cash to move her mom into a nursing home. Fantastic. Can we help you solve that problem? They own an asset. Can we use it to solve this other problem that we're having? Great. And so, you know, Chris and I was talking him through before he got on this call. I was like, you know what, man? They are getting, they told us we're getting postcards all the time, but they haven't sold yet. Why? They haven't connected with anybody. They connected with us. So it's everything. And even, here's the thing, even if you're salespeople, they don't have to be fantastic. And they'll still be able to get it done because it's such a different approach than we're just not one of the 15 postcards that are showing up this week. So it still crushes. And then let them get better over time. But, yeah, this is where you all who know, right, you're tied into this call, and then you know the real estate language and that kind of thing and pick it up, this is where you've got to help them. And this is why you use FreedomSoft numbers and turn on call recording so that you can help them and say, hey, listen to this with me real quick. Boom, here, at 2 minutes, 30 seconds, you cannot talk numbers until you've connected. Right? So that it's not so much a script. I was talking to Rob the other day. It's called a script because that's what it is, but it's more like a conversational guideline. Maybe change that with your teams. Say, hey, don't be rigid, right? This isn't a process of going through the motions, right? A good sales call will go 30 to 45 minutes. And that person, you hang up that phone, and that person will tell you about their son, their daughter, their aunt's cancer, why they moved to whoever, bam, 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 all the things about it. Now we're connecting. This is a let's get to know somebody. Because when they know, like, and trust you, they'll do business with you. That's what we want. It's not about how many people can I get on the phone today and read through this script like a robot. So it is a script, but it's not. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
It's a conversational guide is what it is.
Right.
But yeah, you have to tell your team, if you haven't connected with the person on the other end of the line, you cannot talk numbers. Period. End of story. Got to connect first or else it's going to land on deaf ears.
It sounds easy, but I know it's harder. It totally is.
So we do, we do a call on Mondays with our sales team, and we coach them up and listen to some calls, you know, what's working, what's not working. Right, last week, Mike, we're running into this. Great. I'm going to throw a little script together for you. You know, give me 30 minutes, and I'll email it to you. Put this at the front of what you're going through. And then, because these markets are competitive. So we just get it out of the way. What are you running into? What's everybody saying? Okay, let's come up with a creative script to get around that. And the way you do it is you just get it on the table. You say it. Don't let them say it. Darren, let me guess. What are you getting, 10, 15? Have you gotten 20 postcards a week yet on that thing? Kind of annoying, right, when you go out and your mailbox is full, all these postcards that you have to sort through and just chuck? Yeah, we're not like that. Here's the thing, man. We're a small real estate company. We're still looking to buy real estate. We just come at it with a totally different method. I'm not going to send you 100 postcards in the next 12 months, right, and then make some blind lowball offer. And then all of a sudden, we're just different. We're different from them. Doesn't work every time, but gives us a better shot than the postcard people. Way better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last couple deals that we've gotten under contract are getting multiple every week from the postcard people. And yet we're the deal on the table. because we made a phone call. So.
Well, man.
Yeah, good stuff, everybody. Yeah, stay on it. Let's have a great couple of productive days. Chat again on Thursday. Obviously, any questions, get them into that coaching email. And let's kill it. Keep your feet on the gas. Talk soon.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, everyone.
See you soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Have a good night.
All right.
See ya.
Good night. Thanks, Mike.
Yep, see you, Mike.
leveraging her celebrity on behalf of something that she cared about.
It meant an enormous message. Do you see that image of what the most famous woman in the world doing that? It was extraordinary. And I think she knew exactly what she was doing.
That day was to get across a very clear message that, you know, I'm going to touch this gentleman and you can all exist in a community with people who are suffering and we must help them.
Breaking news on Denver 7, new details on an alleged attack on U.S. diplomats.
Different kind of mother than we've seen ever in the royal family. Chris Williams. It was an early introduction to life in the spotlight.
Thank you.
up with my mother in Scotland. We used to go out lobster potting, they put lobster pots down and try and catch lobsters. I remember once we pulled one up and it was a massive eel, and it was a really massive conger eel. And it had teeth very, very long, and it was flapping around the boat. Horrible, you know, this thing thrashing around was really a creature from the deep. And Donna just got a penknife out and just dealt with it. You know, it was hand to hand, and she just got stuck in. That was a strong girl, and she was brave. She was not a pushover. Never, ever, goodness, ridiculous concept.
What about this relationship with Charles? Are they okay again?
There's a married lady whose husband is a brigadier called Camilla Parker Bowles, who's been friendly with Charles for 20 years. He spends a lot of time with her. But I'm sure it's all the members of meetings behind rather than bodies.
Story broke down that Charles and Camilla were back together. And I was asked to go and do a happy poem in the photograph. I was told that there'd be special guests there. And special guests, Charles and Camilla. This is the biggest story. And I'm taking this for the nonsense. And I can't tell anyone, and I can't issue them. It's like being your biggest opera song in the world.
I think he married a girl who he thought would be very compliant, very easy to control.
Diana came along for the past century and a half. When royal couples were unhappy with each other, they just stuck it out. That was the way it was. You led separate lives, you saw each other on public occasions, that was it. Princess Diana, amazingly, decided that she simply couldn't live a lie. Camilla and her sister Annabelle were having a big party. Diana and Charles were invited. That evening, Diana decided that she was going to confront Camilla. And she did.
Good evening, I'm Kevin Newman. There has been a terrible accident involving Diana, the Princess of Wales. Her good address.
Princess Di is dead. What should we see about that?
It's out of absolute endless hunger for more of a pound of flesh from her. The biggest names in music, but to her mom, she's still her little girl.
or $10 a month. Tracy's husband once had a...
Just a few months ago that I got